Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. My name is Abby Elizabeth, and I am so excited to dive into today's episode with you. Hey, guys, and welcome back to the Beautifully Broken podcast. I am so excited today because I am joined by the stellar Miss Holly Myers. How are you today, Miss Holly?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm caffeinated and I'm ready to go.
Same girl, same.
So Miss Holly, if you don't mind telling our guest a little bit about yourself.
For sure. Yeah, I'm from North Carolina. I live right next to Charlotte, North Carolina. A lot of people know that city when you say North Carolina. And I'm about 15, 20 minutes from like the downtown city area of Charlotte in a little town called Gastonia, North Carolina. I married my high school sweetheart. I have two daughters, my pastor's wife, I'm a writer and a speaker. My favorite smell on the planet is skunk. And I love all things bears. All the things bears. I'm writing a book called Protect What You Cherish, and a bear is going to be on the front of that. I had a dream about a bear once, but that's a whole nother story. And then I love to get prizes. My love language is gifts, and so I love like birthdays. I love just like random prizes. My favorite color is green. That's a little bit about me. I love all things Disney too.
Wait a second. You got me. Did you? And I thought that I've seen you say this on social media or a podcast or something. Did you say your favorite smell is skunk?
100% is my favorite. Anytime that I smell skunk, I'd roll my window down and I go, I love it. If I could get sprayed by a skunk, it'd be a dream come true. I had a friend one time send me a pack of stickers. They were scratch and sniff and they were skunk smell. It was great.
So is this like a normal thing? Do a lot of people like the smell of skunk?
I don't think so. Now, I will tell you this. Okay, so when I was a little girl, have you ever heard of clogging, like the dance clogging? Yeah. It's kind of like tap, but like a little bit, it's different. Well, it's like, so I grew up dancing, like clogging. We would go to my clogging team two nights a week where we would have to drive for like 2 hours. Well, my mom would always stop at this one particular McDonald's to get her coffee. And there was always like a skunk smell on that road. My husband says, I've transferred the smell from skunk to coffee and I got those confused. I don't agree with that, but I love to smell it. Like it's, have you ever been to Disney World?
Yeah, I live in Florida. I've been a couple times.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. I didn't know. I didn't realize you lived in Florida. Okay. So, you know, the ride Figment?
I haven't been there enough to know the ride, but...
Okay, well, there's a particular ride in Epcot, okay? There's Epcot, and there's this man, he takes you through all the different, like, through your senses. Well, one of them is you get sprayed by a skunk, and everybody flips out, and I love it. I'm like, I want to get on my clothes. It smells so great. That's something weird about me. Sorry, I probably should have said that right off the bat. People are going to be like, who is this chick on her podcast?
But I love how you just, you put it in so casually, and then you just kept... I don't know if you saw my face, but you kept talking and I was like, wait a second.
You're like, wait, let's go back to that. She's crazy. Yeah, I do. I love skunk so much.
It's cool that you're from North Carolina. I love North Carolina. We're actually going on vacation in June, the first week of June. So it's coming up. We're going up to North Carolina.
That's awesome. What part? Okay, yeah.
I forget the specific.
So we... Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I was supposed to be leaving Saturday for Florida. We were supposed to be coming to Santa Rosa for a week, and they canceled because of the renters. You can't rent right now down there. So we moved, and now we're going to Gulf Shores, Alabama for a week.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't been to Alabama a ton.
Which is like 20 minutes.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes from Santa Rosa, which is so weird and so crazy, or like 20 miles, something like that. So it's right real close, but I'm coming near you this next week.
That's super cool. Yeah, I'm like in a little tiny town in Florida that I haven't looked at a map. I'm really bad with geography, I'll be honest, but it's like in some little section.
Oh, me too.
Where nobody knows where it is, but if you go like 4 hours one way, and I go to Graysville, then I'm right next to Alabama. But if I go the opposite direction, so I don't know. I'm like, I don't ever know how to tell people
where are you
how
from?
To meet me. So, well, originally I'm from Live Oak, Florida, but then we moved to Cheapland, Florida, which is like, do you know where Gainesville, Florida is?
I do.
It's like 30 to 40 minutes away from there, but I forget which direction.
It's like, gotcha. No, I gotcha. My husband did his grad. He went to grad school at Florida State, so we lived in Tallahassee for a while. So the only thing I know about Gainesville is Florida Gators, and we don't like Florida Gators. So other than that,
see, my dad is obsessed with the Florida Gators. Like, he has an entire dedicated to Florida Gator stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, we're Seminole fans.
But I'm super excited to see what you're going to be talking about today. So the floor is yours if you want to take it away.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I was so inspired by you because, you know, I'm almost 40, I'll be 45 at the end of this month, and I just started a podcast over a year ago. And so as I was thinking about like what I was going to even like share with you guys and your listeners, is that I remember what would I have done if I would have been in love with Jesus at your age? How things would have been different, how things, you know, and so if you're not careful, I could quickly go into that place of shame and guilt, not feeling good enough, not measuring up. And you're leading the way in this place of, hey, I'm following Jesus out loud. This is who I am. And I love that about you. I think it's so awesome. And I'm so thankful that the Lord connected our paths, because I hope that you keep going. And if you, you know, if you ever need anything from me at all, please know that I'm here to cheer you on. But, you know, when I was a little girl, I was 8 years old, and I remember the day so perfectly in my mind. I was in my living room. My mom had pink sponge rollers in my hair. I was watching wrestling, which is so funny, right? And I was laying across this big pillow, and we were about to go out of town for a clogging competition. I was a dancer. And so my sister and I were sitting there, and my dad pulls into the driveway. He gets out of the car. He comes in, not like anything out of the ordinary. And him and my mom began to have an extremely like loud argument in the back room. And they were arguing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The next thing I know, I remember my dad coming in there, like telling me goodbye. He gets into his car. And I can remember it so much because we had those shades that you pulled down. And I remember seeing like the little dust particles. It was so hot outside. And I remember him getting in his car and me looking out the window. And I was probably like 8, looking out, and he pulls out. And that was the first time that I felt this like, ouch, like that hurt, right? That, like that deep rooted hurt. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, okay, what does this even mean? And he would say that, you know, he loved us, he would be seeing us, but then it turned into every other weekend type of thing. And he didn't show up to like one of my clogging competitions. And quickly I realized, hey, my parents were getting a divorce. And I think from that moment is when I felt like there was a hole put in me that someone else did that I had no control of. So like he took something out of my heart. And immediately I turned into this girl who performed a lot. I performed, if I wanted to be your friend, I would dress how you wanted me to dress. If I wanted to date this guy, then I would, you know, become that person for that guy. And so quickly I lost who I was. I had no idea who I was. And I remember even as a young girl, not looking at my body in a way that that glorified God. I'm like, I didn't care. Like I cared so much that I was so insecure. I didn't look through the lens of like seeing God the way he sees me. And I went to church every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Like we were always in church. My mom never not took us to church. And so when I got into like middle school, I had this identity issue where it was, I'll be the good girl at church, but I will be who everybody else wants me to be outside of church. And so I had this like, this moral compass in me that I know that like was what was right and wrong, because based on me going to church, but me actually giving my life to Jesus, I had not done that. So I was so torn, which is so confusing for so many people. I think that there's so many people across even your age, even in my age, who they go to church and yet they serve God. Like I used to teach, you know, I would teach little Bible studies, or I would be very active in my youth group. But the heart piece of me, I never surrendered my heart to Jesus. And I remember going down front, I remember getting baptized. I remember those things, but it was all based on other people's approval of me, like wanting them to like, oh, you got saved. But nothing changed on the internally in me, you know? And so that led quickly into this approval addiction of trying to be approved of, but then that turned into food addiction. And so I would give my heart away to boy after boy after boy, trying to deepen this like desire in me to be wanted. And that quickly turned into an addiction of how can I make you like me? And so I had fake friendships. I had unhealthy relationships. I had an unhealthy view of my body. Everything looked ugly from the inside out. I would lay in my bed and I would cry my eyes out at night, and I would get up the next morning, put my cheerleading uniform on, and I would go to school, and I would be the girl that everybody wanted me to be, and my mom had me in beauty pageants. I mean, it was like a joke. And I look back at my life and go, how ugly were you? And I remember my senior year of high school, we had to move to a different school because our house had caught on fire. I mean, there's so many like miniature stories. I'm leading up to one big thing, but I want to kind of give you like a backstory of like where I was in my mind. And I remember getting to my senior year of high school, and my mom said, and my mom had remarried from my stepdad, and they said, we're going to move to Gastonia. And I'm like, Gastonia? I lived in Dallas, a little small town with one elementary school, one middle school, and one high school. And so everybody that I went to school with were people that I grew up with, right? And even though I didn't have like genuine deep friendships, those are the people that I knew as comfort. My church was in Gastonia, so I knew the people that, you know, from there. And so I remember when I went to my senior year of high school, I met Richard, who's now my husband, but I met him a few weeks before school started at church. I was teaching a Bible study. I had a boyfriend. He walked in and I said, "Ooh, I'm going to marry him." And I was like kidding, but kind of not kidding. And so we started dating right off the bat. And so my senior year, I entered the beauty pageant for my high school. And I remember being so sick. Everybody was like, I remember one guy came and laid hands on me in the backstage. He was a Christian, and I went to church with him. He laid his hands on me. I was not a believer at this time. I believed in God, and I thought I had a relationship with God, but the heart piece of me was not there. Like I could quote you a scripture, and I could tell you what was right and wrong, but at the same time, I was being physical with my boyfriend. So like I was going to church, leading Bible studies, but I was also being physical with my boyfriend. And I want you to know, like, I won that beauty pageant, but I passed out because I had not eaten in 4 days because I was trying to be skinny. And so you've got all these pieces of this puzzle of, number one, I don't know who I am. I felt rejected by my father. I was trying to gain approval from so many people. And you, as you can imagine at this point, like, I'm a broken mess. Here I am. I said I would always wait till I was married. And so all the shame, all the guilt, all the anger, all the frustration, all the rejection had put me into this place of complete deep brokenness. Like, I did not know who I was. And so I let everybody tell me who I was. And so that was one of the things I've always, like, look through this lens of, what do you want me to be? Then I'll become that. And that's honestly the opposite of what Jesus said. I love this verse in Psalm 139. It says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with me all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me in and behind me and before me. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." And as I remember, as I moved into college, my freshman year of college, this girl said, "Hey, you want to come to our Bible study?" And I was like, sure. Like, I would have considered myself a Christian girl at that point. Even though I had been to school, I'd done all these terrible things in my past. I said, yeah, sure. That's the way to make friends. I heard the word sorority. I thought, okay, sorority, girls, party, Bible study. This is a perfect thing for me. And so here I go to this Bible study. I'm, you know, just turned 18 years old. And I go in and I sit down, and they begin to talk about Jesus from a perspective that I had never understood. Remember, I grew up in church. Like, I don't remember when I ever was not in church. But it clicked something in my heart. And I remember my neck was on fire. And I was like, they're talking about Jesus as if Jesus sees me and is okay with like this dirty ugliness that I have inside of me. He knows me when I get up and when I lie down. He knows my thoughts. I'm like, oh my word, like this God that I have been running from is the very wanting to run too. And I remember going back to my dorm room and getting on my knees and just sobbing. And all I could say was, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry. And in that moment, I believed that I gave my life to Jesus. And so I got up from there. I called it was my fiance at the time, Richard, and we had just gotten engaged and just gotten to college. And we played like we were married, basically. And I called him and he came over and we sat out in the parking lot and he gave his life to Jesus. We sobbed. We both said, you know, from this point on, we're going to honor God with our relationship. And so for 3 years of our engagement, we honored our purity. He didn't lay a hand on me. We didn't get far. We didn't almost mess up. Like, we honored God with our relationship. And so everything about my life began to shift because I began to look through the lens of how Jesus saw me. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. And I could not equate masterpiece and me, because I had gained weight. I'd quit clogging because I wanted to honor God with my life. And there were a lot of people who were in the party scene and I just couldn't handle it anymore. So I lost my scholarship. I joined a Christian sorority to surround people with me. But even though I'd given my life to Jesus, and even though I was beginning to learn scripture for the first time, there was still something inside of me that was very broken still. And that was the rejection from my father. So if I in any way felt rejected in any capacity, I would misplace that with food. And food became this hidden source of my wanting desire. If I was mad, I ate. If I was sad, I ate. If it was PMS, I ate. If it was, angry or had an argument with Richard, I ate. And I found myself this becoming a cycle in my life where I would pull up to Krispy Kreme donut and I would say, I'd like to get a dozen donuts, and I would inhale them before I could even get out of the parking lot. And I was a believer, like I love Jesus, and I would love him so much that it hurt me so bad every time that I felt like I chose something over him. But that conviction never caused me to move out of that. I just kept going deeper into my shame. So I feel like I've been freed up from, I feel like I've been healed from this place of approval addiction. I feel like I've been healed up from this place of, walking in purity with my fiance. I felt all of those things were gone, but the one place that I could hide was my food. So I would go into a grocery store or I would go into a restaurant and I would order a salad. Then behind closed doors, I would binge on food and then I would throw up. And so this vicious cycle of this eating disorder had me in a constant place of guilt, constant place of shame. Like I would never feel like I ever was ever going to be good enough, because this is one area that I cannot knock. Like, you think about someone who's addicted to pornography, you're like, okay, just don't look in the computer. Just don't look at the computer. Delete it from your phone. Or, hey, person who is an alcoholic, like, don't go buy the beer. Well, what about someone who struggles with food addiction? Like, food is always in front of you, right? It's always in your fridge. It's always, that's a part of everything. And this food addiction is a deep-rooted addiction that it's taking years to overcome. Now, me sitting here as a 44-year-old woman, I'm not skinny. I've gained a lot of weight over the years. I yo-yo diet constantly. I join Weight Watchers. I'll lose 30, I'll gain 10. But I'll tell you what I've overcome. And that is that food is more important than Jesus. So me going through the donut Krispy Kreme right now, I would order one donut and be satisfied. I had to take the satisfaction that I was finding in that instant moment of quick satisfaction and put that onto my Savior. And then Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Like, I've been freed up from that. I've been freed up from this desire of wanting to be satisfied by anything else other than Christ. I've been freed up from that because Christ is my satisfaction. And so I say that I've overcome approval addiction. I say that I've overcome this place of feeling like, this loneliness geared towards my dad. And so in the middle of all of that food addiction, my dad was killed when I was in college. And so I ran deeper into that food addiction for a season, but then there was something that just happened in me. And I remember thinking, standing in worship. This is a true story. I was standing in worship. And as I was singing the songs, and I had my hands lifted up, and I, in my mind, imagined myself putting the word food in the place where it said God or Lord or King. And I sobbed, like I wept, and I thought, you know what? I've taken God off the throne and I put food on the throne, because I think that food is going to be the thing that like ultimately satisfies me. And so all of a sudden, looking into a mirror and I see I'm over 200 pounds, you know what? God says I'm a masterpiece. I look in the mirror and I don't see the girl that I used to be in middle school or high school. I'm a masterpiece. And so everything about me is now, my heart is for girls and women to know freedom in Christ and to know that they have so much worth. Like if I would have known how much worth that I possessed, then I probably wouldn't have lost my virginity. If I would have known how much worth I possess, I wouldn't have let girls tell me who I was not. If I would have known the worth that I possessed, then I probably wouldn't have been so addicted to people wanting to be liked or desired by people. So it's a worth is something that I continue, like I have to tell myself every day, Holly, you're worth it. You're beautiful. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. Like I know all the scriptures that go there, because once upon a time, my refrigerator, my car, my room had post-it notes all over it. And I had to constantly remind myself of the truth and replace those lies. And even on my mirror right now, it says, you are seen. I wrote it in like a dry erase marker, because it was season where like, hey, I need to be seen by God. And so I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, and so I think that was all that makes sense for you. That was a lot, I know.
No, that was great. That was perfect. There is nothing that I would have changed about what you just shared. Wow.
Yeah.
If you're okay.
So I think that.
Sorry, you go ahead. My audio cut out for a second.
No, I think that, you know, it's one of the things that I love to do. Like I travel and speak, and I love talking to teenage girls. And I love talking to college girls, because I always say this, if I can get a girl to understand who she is in Christ, understand that it doesn't, her size doesn't matter, whether she has 1,000 likes on a photo, what the skills say about her, whether or not she has a boyfriend, whether or not she comes from a broken home, whether or not if she is someone who's addicted to drugs, or if she's a cutter, or if she's walking in depression or anxiety. Like if I can get a girl to understand that her worth is in Jesus alone, it shifts and it changes everything. And I know it because it changed me. Like I began to be transformed from the inside out. And so that's something that I think that's why I'm so passionate about it. It's like I live this out in my life. So yeah, what were you going to say?
I was just going to ask if you're okay with us unpacking some of the things you talked about.
100%. Yes. Let's do it, girl.
Dude, I took so many notes. I love it so much. I get so excited getting to talk to different people. It's been one of the coolest things about starting a podcast, because I initially didn't expect anybody to return like a message to me, because I just found a random app that said, hey, you can make a free podcast and do you want to do it? And then all of a sudden now I've got people like you on here that just are so beautiful, and you have such a beautiful story to share, that I'm so thankful that you came on here.
It's an honor to be here.
But so one of the things that came to my mind when you were talking, because I can actually heavily relate with you, but it's something that God brought to my mind a while back when I was struggling with some really similar things, and it was one of those things that God had to get me through. But it's this thing, I think of a chameleon, okay? And so
yes.
Is that okay? I think you know where I'm going with it. But it was one of those things where I remember, I want to think it was a couple months ago, I got out of my car with my mom and I was just sobbing. And I was like, you know, I don't even know who I am. Like, because at my school, I was one thing. I was going to this college. I actually just finished my first year at this college, but I was going to this college. And when I was at that college, I would be exactly who anybody wanted me to be in order to, it wasn't necessarily to fit in, but more to please other people, you know, more to make them happy.
For sure.
And I remember my mom just looking at me and she's like, Abby, well, she says Abigail, but she's like, Abigail, like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? Like, is this what you want to be doing right now? And I remember God just bringing to my mind a chameleon. Like, it was one of these things like, you know, I go to church and I act one way, and then I go to school and I act another way. And it was like one of those things that God was pulling at my heart, and he's like, why are you trying to change your identity into something that's not going to fulfill you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, freedom, one of the things that I say a lot is freedom is letting go. Freedom is letting go. Think about like when you're as a child, I remember we used to have this monkey bars in our backyard, and our hands, we would, you know, try to go across the monkey bars and would hang on for dear life so much it would begin burning our hands. Like the calluses would form up here and there would be bleeding. And it wasn't until I would let go of that monkey bars and feel the release that my hands would stop hurting. And the same thing goes with like freedom in Christ. When freedom is letting go of what other people think about you, freedom is letting go of how you look at yourself through the lens of a mirror. Freedom is letting go of anything other than how Jesus sees you. And he sees you with worth and beauty and masterpiece in mind. And that changes the direction of how you carry yourself, the way that you talk, the way that you love people. Because you can't honestly, like when it says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, if you're not loving yourself who you are, you can't love your neighbor as Christ wants you to love them, because you don't even love yourself. And so that was a lot for me. It's like I couldn't be a good friend to other people. And so I began to really genuinely love who I was. I'm a thick girl from North Carolina who loves some chocolate, who loves to smell skunk. Like I am that girl, and I'm okay with that girl now. And now my friendships are deeper. They're more intimate. I can have hard conversations with people. I can push people in the direction of truth, because I truly believe that Jesus says I'm his masterpiece. And that just changes the direction of everything in your life when you're saying freedom is letting go. And whatever that letting go, whatever that is the most beautiful picture of freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you said that. I love that you mentioned Galatians 5:1, because that was actually one of the verses. It's my favorite verse.
Mine too.
I'm a big Bible nerd. So I don't know as much of my Bible as I should, but what I do know, I love to study really deeply. And so I loved connecting it with 2 Corinthians 12, because Paul wrote both.
Yes.
But in the order that it's in the Bible, I got to remember correctly. Yeah, 2 Corinthians is placed before Galatians. But numerically, Galatians occurred before 2 Corinthians did, chronologically.
Right.
So the funny thing is that he talks about letting go of chains, but all of a sudden, however long later, he's talking about how he has this thorn in his flesh and he's struggling. And I think it's a beautiful picture of, yes, you know, we come to a point where we let go of chains, but it's a continual thing, you know, because we're still going to struggle, but we have to learn to look at ourselves through God's eyes, which is, yes, I've struggled.
Right.
And that doesn't excuse our sins. You know, I'm not saying excuse your sins by saying, oh, well, God sees me this way. But what I'm saying is,
yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
And you know, I feel like the Lord gave me, like I feel like I started walking in freedom probably in my beginning of my 30s, but I'm 44 years old. Do I still struggle? 100%. There are days where I want to dive into a bag of Oreos and all of my woes go away in that bag of Oreos. Have I failed and binged before in this last 10 years? 100%. Yes. There are days where I would literally have to pick up the phone and text a friend and say, hey, listen, I just ate 4 donuts. I feel gross. I feel terrible, but I feel like I needed to say it out loud, because what I've learned about struggling and like that thorn in your side, when you say it out loud, you take all the enemy's power away, because he can't taunt you with what he doesn't own. And he likes to lurk in the dark. So if what you're bringing in the dark is bringing it to the light, God can use it for his glory. So that's become my platform. It's like, hey girl, I get it. I want a bag of donuts too. Some days look in the mirror and go, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But then when I speak it out and I begin to replace it with the truth and get it out of the dark is when God can transform it and say, you know what? No way. It's like that mindset when Paul says, take every thought captive. We take that as in like, if I take this coffee mug captive, it's mine, right? But when it says take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, right? That word translates to literally beat it until it's unrecognizable, which means I would have to crush this in 1,000 pieces that you wouldn't be able to even know this was even a mug in order to take it fully captive, what that word means. And so it's like, if I have a lie that comes into my mind and says, Holly, did you see how big you looked in that picture on Instagram? Well, now I'm going to take this lie and I've got to beat it till it's unrecognizable. So it goes from a place of, wow, God, you have really brought, look at who, somebody commented on that picture and talked about how much that scripture encouraged them. All of a sudden, I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at God through myself. And it just shifts the mindset of how we look at things. Like, it's not about me. It's never about me. It's about me being opened up in my heart and my hands and my mouth to be a vessel being used by God. And when I'm beating a lie from the enemy, scales don't tell a lie. They tell me how much I weigh. But the enemy likes to use the little bit of a truth to pound down on my identity and worth, just like he did in the garden. Did God really say, right? And so everything that I do in my life, I'm always going to have the enemy saying, but did God really say, Holly? Because the only weapon the enemy has is lies. Think about it. He's not omnipresent. He can't. The only thing he has is lies. And so he has constantly been shooting lies since the day he was in that garden. Like, think about it, when he was cast out of heaven, but like, he's going to shoot for a long time. He has a good aim. So if I'm not careful and if I'm not armed in the things of truth and I'm not guarding my heart, I'm not guarding my mind, then that one dart could set root into my brain. And all of a sudden I'm chasing after a lie, or I'm believing a lie that I was never meant to believe in the first place.
Yeah. That's so good. Absolutely. Hold on, I gotta find where it was at in my notes because that was so good. Yeah, I actually, something that a way that I found that I connect with God a lot is through music. And in one of those ways is I write songs. I've actually been doing it since I was like, I want to think I was six. Most of them aren't very good at that age, I'll be honest. But it was always one of those things, because it's actually funny. So at 6 years old was kind of when a lot of things catapulted in my life. It's the year that I gave my life to Christ, but I also didn't fully understand it until later on, because I've walked through almost everything that you've walked through besides a couple things. And also at 6 years old was when I had an injury that catapulted me into having a chronic illness, which ended up leading into 13 years of me not having any answers and me being bedridden for a lot of it. So that songwriting was the way that connected me to God. Well, I say all this because I know it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense at the moment, but I actually sat down at my guitar the other day and I wrote a song, and one of the lines in it was, "He wants my ugly." And it was talking about, and the song is called Unspoken Broken. And it's talking about how God wants, you know, what we have as it is. You know, we don't have to say a word because he already knows what's going on. He's already fighting for us.
Yeah.
He just wants us to be willing to come before him and say, "Hey, God, like, I'm a mess. I'm ugly. I'm broken. But I want to give that to you." Because whenever we're able to do that is when we can live in the freedom of which Christ has called us to.
Yeah, for sure. You know, thinking about even like in the garden when they were walking around naked, and it wasn't until the sin entered that they covered themselves. They tried to cover themselves. And when I think about that mindset of when they, something had to die in order for them to be covered, right? Because they covered themselves with like a skin of an animal. And I think about even now, if sin wouldn't have entered the world, our most vulnerable state is when we were naked, right? I would never walk outside of my door naked. So the clothes that I put on my body every day is remembrance that I was covered. And so the mindset of understanding and knowing that God said, "I'm going to send my son to take away all the things that you struggle with, Holly. I want you to be free in that area, to walk in that." The most ugly, like the cross is ugly. Think about it. Like, we think about, we wear crosses around our neck, or we look at things like, "Oh, that's such a pretty cross." But the cross was a torture device for the very one who set us free. So it is ugly. Things got really ugly so that we could walk in freedom. It said, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." It wasn't the cross that he found joy in. It was on the other side of being able to walk with the Father, right? And so I think that is such a beautiful picture. I love that so much. So good.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I personally had to come to the realization of. And like, it's funny to me that, you know, you had said, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'm trying to remember correctly, but you had said something about like, you were proud of me or something for doing this. And like, and like for me, I've had to come to the point that it was like, I still struggle, you know? And I could have just been, 2 days ago, I was on my bathroom floor crying in a panic attack, but all of a sudden there's a difference. Like something shifted whenever I turned my eyes off of my brokenness to the brokenness of the cross. Like that was the whole point of this podcast too. And I remember sitting there on the bathroom floor the other day and I was just like, you know, I finished crying and I sat there for a second and I was like, why am I upset right now? And I analyzed it and I was like, okay, well, this is what, I don't remember what happened, but I was like, okay, this is what I feel, but this is what God says. You know, right now I might feel like I'm being overtaken by my emotions. And right now I might feel like I'm worthless, but look at the cross. Like the cross is enough to show that it covers anything that you feel.
Right, right. The one of the main scriptures, like Galatians 5:1, is my freedom jam. Like everybody knows me, knows I love to talk about freedom. But the one of the verses that I started out of my podcast out of was Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And we always stop it there, but the last part of that verse is, and they did not love their lives to death. Like when we let go of our insecurities, when we let go, when we get up off the bathroom floor and we pull it back together for the purpose of like, all right, God, this is, you called me to it, so I need you to put me through it, right? It's one of those things that when we do it, even when we don't want to, even when we don't feel good enough or pretty enough or wise enough or like our story matters at all, I love that they said they did not love their lives to death. Like this is not, yes, it's like God's giving me this life to live and my husband and my children and the things that I, like bears and skunks, like all these things are funny and he cares about the little things and details of our lives. But I also know that I'm here on this earth to proclaim the gospel, to speak freedom into people's lives. And so I can't love my life more and the comfort of my life and to feel, if I'm gonna to choose security or comfort or to feel pretty over speaking out about the junk in my life, it's like, that's losing my life, is saying, you know what? I'm gonna let go of the comfort. Freedom is letting go, right? Letting go of the comfort, letting go of the insecurity so that I can proclaim Jesus' name. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the cross, right? And the word of their testimony. Like this is what we're doing right here, is me sharing my story, the testimony of how I came to know Jesus. And so I think that's incredible. I think you keep sharing your story. I think you keep adding your gifts. I think that you keep speaking out and with words, because God has gifted you. Like you don't give yourself enough credit. I don't even know you very well, and I can see that. Like you need to stand confidently in your calling. You know, one of the things that in the book that I'm writing, Protect What You Cherish, it's all came from a dream about a bear, which is a whole nother story. But one of the things that the Lord gave me was, in the middle of my insecurity, I have this vision of this bear standing up. And when bears stand up, they stand up because their senses are heightened. They can smell more. They can see further across the brush. And I heard the Lord so easily and so boldly in my heart say, Polly, it's time to stand up in your calling. And I'm like, whoa. And so when you're standing up in your calling, you're saying, you know what? I'm going to stand up confidently who God's called me to be, and I'm going to just go in that direction towards Christ. And out of that comes all the things that you need. Like the Lord connected us through a Zoom call to Instagram to here, right? God's going to do the connecting of the dots. You don't have to worry about it. And you're doing that. You're doing a great job of that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's so cool whenever you shift your focus, and that's one of the things that it was shifting the focus from my brokenness to the beauty of the brokenness of the cross. You know, that's why this podcast is called
Broken.
And it was one of those things that, like, and something that I've learned is that your calling is not going to be comfortable. It's like what you were talking about. Like, God is not going to call you to something that you're not qualified for. He qualifies you for it. But if you're comfortable, you're probably doing something wrong, because that's not, you're not called to comfort. And it's hard, because like, I'm a girl that I I grew up being the baby of the family. I grew up, you know, living in a nice family, you know, going to church every day, you know, and living in a state of being comfortable.
Yeah.
But I remember, and it's funny too, because when you're living in a state of being comfortable, sometimes you can get a call while you're being comfortable and you don't realize yet that it's going to take you out of that state of being comfortable.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. Because I think, like, I love traveling. I love meeting people. I'm very much an extrovert. So, like, I love that side of it. But to walk on stage with a message that's so, like, whoo, the pressure is on. What I learned over the years is that I just have to open up my mouth and just speak it. And the Lord does whatever he does with the scripture. It has nothing to do with my ability. So if I'm putting all the pressure on myself, then I'm acting in my own strength. If I put all the pressure on Jesus, man, he's gonna do some immeasurably more things. I just have to get out of the way. That's what happens a lot of times. We want to stay in the way of what God's doing. Like, let me help you. Let me manipulate this. Let me do this. Let me change this, whatever. And God just says, woohoo, get out of the way. I got this, you know, so.
I'll just get out of the way.
Just do what I called you to do. Get out of the way.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's funny. Okay, so, and I know that I feel like some of my podcast episodes are repetitive, and I can't ever remember what's been mentioned in a podcast and hasn't, because a lot of these are pre-recorded. So, but you know, people are going to have to deal with
it. No, I do the same thing, girl, so that's normal.
But, like...
Yeah, for sure. Maybe they need to hear it twice. It's good.
It's just, so, and also, because most of the episodes aren't released yet, a lot of times I'm introducing myself to my guests. But when I was 9 years old, I felt called to be a missionary to Asia. And it's so weird. But I remember in that moment.
Do you know what I said when I was 9, Abby?
What?
I wanted to be a missionary when I was 8. That's so funny. Our stories are so much alike. It's funny.
I have no idea. We'll have to talk afterwards. But I remember,
yeah. I love that.
I was 9 years old, and I went to this very, very old-fashioned Baptist church. Like, they were independent Baptist. And I remember I got up, and I was so excited. And now, for a little bit of context, I guess a couple weeks before, there was a group of, like, 5 or 6 girls that were around the 16 age bracket. And they all went down and prayed at the same time and all came back up and said that they were called to go to Albania. And so, and a lot of people really doubted my calling because they were like, oh, well, she just saw the older girls do it. And okay, that makes sense. Like, I can see that. But also at the same time, like, I have a very short attention span at that age. I don't remember most of what happened, but it was one of those things that, like, I was so excited for at the time, and then I was just told, like, you know, oh, that probably didn't happen, you know, and just different things in my life. And then as I grew up, life got hard. Yeah. And I remember just kind of pushing that calling to the side. I told God, I was like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I was like, listen, God, like, I'm sick, you know, I'm in bed half of the days, I can't even get up, you know, there's no way that I could be a missionary. And I kid you not that, you know, as I got older and I started getting better and stuff, you know, I kept trying to run away from the call. But I kid you not that every time that there'd be little things here and there that God would just be like, you know, he would try to nudge me in that direction. I'm like, no, like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to stay in my comfort. You know, I want to stay with my family, and my calling might change. I don't know. But what I do know is, like, the other day, it's funny how God talks to us, because the other day I was taking a bath. And I was almost to the point of tears, and I was just crying, and I was like, God, you know, I need help. Like, I need direction and where you're taking my life, because I don't understand it, and I don't know where it's going. And all of a sudden, he brings to mind, hold on, I actually got to pull it out so I say it correctly, but it's Isaiah 43, which is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, but it's verse 2. And he said,
I know what you're going to say.
Lord, he said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. And I was like,
yeah. You know, I think too, it's one of those things where it's like, that's so good. I think that, you know, when I was a little girl, I said that I wanted to, somebody asked me, they were like, what do you want to be when you grew up? And I said, I want to be a missionary. And I didn't understand what that really meant. You know, life got in the way and people's approval of me became more important than, you know, like a following after something that I said I wanted to do. I didn't even know what a missionary was, really. And then as I got older, I got asked to lead a mission trip to Thailand, and I went for my first trip. And now I've gone to Thailand. I go to Honduras every summer, and I go to Haiti every winter. And now those are two of the countries that I'm very deeply rooted in, is Honduras and Haiti. And what I realized over the years is, like, you know, I am a missionary. God put a heart in me to love and want and desire missions. And so, like, people will go on mission trips and they come back and they don't go back to that country. And that's okay. But my heart, I can't stay away from that. Like, it's God put it in me even as a young girl. So that it may not come into fruition for 10 more years from now, or you know what, 20 years from now, you may find yourself sitting on a mission field. And that's the beauty of a calling, is it's not, I think that we get so mixed up in what the big picture is that we miss, like, this right here is preparing you for the mission field. You creating a podcast, you doing this, you speaking out and doing what you're called to do. I feel like the when we say God's calling in our life is what are we called to do today? And when we take one step, it says, you know, the Bible says, a light and a lamp unto my feet. A lamp is a little bit of light. It's going to give you one step in front of you. So one step in front of you is, hey, I'm going to take this step today. Tomorrow I'm going to take this step. And when you're so, your perspective, like we keep talking about, when your perspective is on Jesus, and you're going to take one step at a time in that direction. And as you're in that direction, eventually you're going to be headed into, it says God gives you the desires of your heart. And if your heart is desiring Him above all else, and guess what? You're going to be on the mission field one day, or you're going to be speaking on stage, or you're going to be leading whatever that looks like for whatever God's calling you or putting that in you to do. You know, it's the craziest thing. I remember I found out about sex trafficking from a lady who was speaking at an event, and I was like, this cannot be real. And I remember coming home, googling it, and like just being sobbing over it. I'm like, this, you've got to be kidding me. And so out of the blue, I was sitting at a youth camp with our students, and this lady contacts me and said, hey, there's a sex trafficking home that's coming to Gastonia. You should connect with this woman. And I'm like, are you serious? And do you know that the Lord knew that my desire is to walk girls out of shame and guilt and all these things? He put me at a safe house with these girls for 6 years. Like, they became, like, we would talk about the most craziest things. And that was my mission field. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm fulfilling this missionary heart in me in a house that's less than a couple miles from my own home, from girls who've been rescued from sex trafficking. So God just does these things. Like, he likes to surprise me. Like, that was like, I remember bawling my eyes out sitting on the campus of Gardner Webb University going, gosh, you blow me away. Like, that became that what was in front of me. So I think that this is in front of you right now, and you're going to reach many people with this, and He's going to continue to move you in that direction. Don't you dare think He's not, because He is.
Oh no, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I think it was one of those things that, like, I had a random idea to start a podcast like a while back, but I never had a platform or anything for it.
Yeah.
And then I actually asked my mom if I could turn my Instagram public and make it more faith-based. And so I got her permission to do that. And then, I kid you not, this is how God works. Because I was sitting there and I was like, okay, how can I reach more people? Like, what do you want me to do, God? And all of a sudden I'm listening to my worship playlist on Spotify, and I get this ad that says, are you wanting to start a podcast? And I was like, shut up. Like, what? And all of a sudden it says, follow this app to hear. And it's called Anchor. And so I go to this app. All of a sudden, I'm like, it's going to cost like hundreds of dollars. No, literally, you download it and you can start recording, and it ships it off Spotify to five or six other places. And I'm just like, whoa.
That's amazing.
I was like, wow, okay, yep, God, this is you.
That's amazing.
I can't do it. This is you.
I love that so much. That's so awesome. That's so good.
Yeah. But do you have anything else that you want to talk about, or anything that you want to close on?
No, I'd like to, you know, if you're that girl that's listening to this and you something triggered in your heart and you could feel like that shame rising up in you, I want to like speak directly to you and say, you're not that girl. If you are that girl who's sitting there and you're binging behind closed doors, I want you to hear me say that God sees you and He loves you beyond that struggle, beyond that chain, beyond that anxiety, beyond that depression, beyond that, you know, whatever it is that you're having to deal with. I want you to hear me say that God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you so that you could walk in the freedom from whatever it is holding you back from fully following Him. So I would love to connect with anybody. If anybody needs me or wants to connect through social media or email, you can certainly give those things out to people. I love connecting with girls, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want, feel free to go ahead and say what your like Instagram and email is so people can connect
with
you some.
For sure. Yeah, so my email is Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, H Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, at gmail.com. And then my Instagram tag is Holly H Myers, just Holly H Myers.
Awesome. I'm guessing H stands for your middle name.
Yeah, it's just, it's funny because when I was on Facebook, and I still am on Facebook for all the oldie people, but Holly Myers was already taken, which is so funny. I'm like, this is so weird. The girl actually messaged me. She's like, we have the same name. It's like, this is weird. So when I started doing like more speaking and stuff, and I tried to like make sure that all of my things are the same, like Holly H. Myers, HollyHMyers.com, like all those things, like the website and everything for people like booking. And I want everything to be the same. So H is just for my maiden name. It's for Hendricks, Holly Hendricks Myers, Holly H. Myers.
Well, that's so awesome. It's been such a joy to have you, Ms. Holly. I'm certainly encouraged, if nobody else is, from listening to this.
Well, thank you.
And thank you. So we're going to be signing off, but just a reminder that you are so loved, you are so cherished, and God is fighting mm-hmm. after you. And until next time, have a great day, guys.
Yes.
Hey guys, and thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. I am so excited on this journey that we are going with all of these amazing speakers that are just sharing their hearts and their joy for Jesus with you. If you ever want to get in contact, please feel free to message me on Instagram at simplyabbyelizabeth or through email at simplyabbyelizabeth@gmail.com. And Abby is spelled A-B-B-I-E. Thank you so much, and I hope you have an amazing day. Please just remember that you are so loved, so cherished, and God will never stop fighting for you. Have a great day. And until next time, I'll see you soon.